Hello, this is Dr. Sam Goldhaber for the Clot Blog at theheart.org on Medscape, speaking to you from the European Society of Cardiology meetings in Barcelona. And today is a very exciting day because the long-awaited pulmonary embolism updated guidelines have just been released with simultaneous e-publication in the European Heart Journal. This update is very comprehensive, the most comprehensive set of guidelines yet in the field of pulmonary embolism. It's quite a lot of reading, 48 pages with about 475 references, more than a dozen tables, and about half a dozen figures, plus a little appendix of extra tables as well that's on the website and that won't come out in print. But the guidelines serve as a real baseline for knowledge in the field, and I'm just going to go over a few of the highlights. I think most importantly is the risk stratification. No longer is just low risk, intermediate risk, which we in the United States call submassive pulmonary embolism, and high risk, which we call massive pulmonary embolism in the USA, but the intermediate risk or submassive PE category, which has always been the most controversial category for management issues, is now fine-tuned. We've always known that there's a wide spectrum of patients in the submassive PE category, the healthy ones and the sick ones. And here, the sicker patients in the intermediate risk category are really called out. They're patients who have not only right ventricular enlargement and right ventricular dysfunction, but they also have an elevation of their troponin level, indicating right ventricular myocardial microinfarction. And these patients are potentially the patients who will benefit the most from advanced therapies in addition to anticoagulation, such as thrombolytic therapy or embolectomy. Another important point is that the updated guidelines fully acknowledge the novel oral anticoagulants, pointing out that in terms of efficacy, they're non-inferior to traditional low molecular weight heparin bridging to warfarin, and that in terms of safety, there are strong signals of superiority in safety, with about a 50% reduction in intracranial hemorrhage across the board, regardless of which of the four novel oral anticoagulants is used, in addition to pooled analyses showing convincing evidence of a reduction in major hemorrhage compared with traditional anticoagulation using low molecular weight heparin as a bridge to warfarin. And the guidelines really leave it to the discretion of the health provider as to whether to use the older low molecular weight heparin warfarin approach or the novel agents. The guidelines don't take a firm stance on this. In addition, the guidelines go into many other topics and bring up some issues related to cutting edge research. Some of the other topics that are expanded upon are how to manage pregnant women with pulmonary embolism, how to manage patients with cancer and pulmonary embolism, and how to manage patients who develop chronic thromboembolic pulmonary hypertension, which is greatly expanded upon from the previous version of the guidelines that was published in 2012. So this was a labor of love for those who worked on the new updated ESC guidelines. The guideline committee was chaired by Stavros Konstantinidis, who was one of the principal investigators of the PYTHO trial, which studied tenecteplase in intermediate risk pulmonary embolism. And I do think the guidelines are worth downloading from the European Heart Journal, and certainly having available as a convenient reference tool. This is Dr. Sam Goldhaber signing off for the Clot Blog.